The title of this shiur is Lighting the Menorah in Dangerous and Not So Dangerous Times, a Halachic, Hashkafic, and Historical Analysis. And we'll begin the shiur with a passage from the Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Chaf Aleph Amud Beis, where the Gemara says, Tanu Rabbanan, the rabbis teach us, Ner Chanukah Mitzvah L'Anichal Pesach Beis Mibachutz. There's a mitzvah to place the menorah on the outside of the door. And im haya dar balia manicha b'chalon asmucha l'rishis harabim. If you're on the upper level, you place it on the window that's near the public domain. Uvishas asakana manicha l'shulchan v'dayon. In times of danger, you place it on the table inside your house, and that is sufficient. So, ideally, if we're not in a time of danger and we are on the ground floor, so there's a mitzvah to place the menorah on the outside of the door. And Rashi says the reason is Mishum Pirsu Menisa, and the reason is because of we want to publicize the miracle so others will see the menorah. That's also, the Pirsu Menisa is also the reason for the timing of the mitzvah. The Gemara also in Shabbos, Daf Chaf Aleph Amud Beis states that the mitzvah is Mishatishka Chama Ad Shetchala Regel Min HaShuk, that it's from the time of when the sun sets. It's not clear whether it means the beginning of sunset or the end of sunset, until people stop walking in the street. And it's also related because once people stop walking the street, there's no Pirsu Menisa. You're not publicizing the miracle because no one's in the street anymore. And this is also, Pirsu Menisa is also the reason for another halacha. In Shabbos Daf Chaf Beis Amud Aleph, the Gemara says, Ner Shel Chanukah Shinicha L'Mala Me'asrim Amah Psula, that the menorah or Chanukah lights that are placed more than 20 amos above the ground are invalid. Why is that? So Rashi says, Lo Shalta Ba'ina L'Mala Me'asrim Amah, because people don't look up more than 20 amos, more than 40 feet up, Veleika Pirsu Menisa, and there's no publicizing of the miracle. So again, Pirsu Menisa is the reason to place the menorah on the outside of your house, the timing when people are walking in the street, and not too high up. Now, the Gemara says, Bishasa Sakana, in times of danger, then Manicha L'Shulchan Medayo, you can place it on your table, and that is sufficient. The question is, what's the danger? So Rashi tells us that the danger is Shehoya Lahem LaParsiim Chok BiYomeidan, that the Persians had a decree, had a law on their holiday, Shliaviru Ner El Beis Avodzar Shelahem, that they should only light candles or kindle lights in their temples, in their pagan temples. And the She'iltos Rav Chai Gaon in Parshas Va'era Shilta Membeis expands on Rashi's statement when it says Uvamalchus Parsim Hayu Chaverim Shebahem Machzirin Bechol Batei Yisrael, that during the Persian Empire the Persian Magi, the priests, would go around to the houses of the Jewish people Machabim Esaneros, and they would extinguish the lights, the chosim esegachalim, and they'd shovel up the coals, umelichem mosel lebeis or shalhem, and they'd bring them to their fire temples, shu avodah zarah, to their fire temples. V'lo hayu ozvim lo eish v'lo gechalim shelo, and they wouldn't leave fire or coals by the Jewish houses, shaliicham balayla, that because they would bring them at night, except. So they'd only allow fire and coals to be burning in their temples. Now, who are we talking about here? These fire temples, these Persian Magi. So presumably we're talking about the Zoroastrian religion. The times of the Gemara, the Jews were living in Bavel, and from the year 226 CE, the Sassanid dynasty began, and they restored the old monotheistic religion of Zoroastrianism. And there was something called a Zoroastrian fire temple. That was a place of worship for the Zoroastrians. And probably when the when Rashi and the Shiltos talk about a holiday when you can only bring fire to the pagan temples, they're probably referring to this Zoroastrian fire temple. Now, the temples were generally destroyed or in the 7th century, and essentially essentially after that time there were no more fire temples. So when we talk about this danger that Rashi mentions, the Shiltos mentions, this is probably in the Talmudic era. The Talmudic era is from like the year 200 to the year 500. So maybe the Talmudic era, a little bit in the beginning of the Gaonic era, maybe. So that's one opinion as to what the Sakana was. Now, why would they then light the menorah in their homes? Wasn't there a concern that the Persian magi would go into their homes and find their candles or find their lights and take it with them? So Tosfos in Shabbat of Chafav Chamed Beis tells us that V'yesh Lomar De'ein Regilus Kol Kach L'Chapes B'Batim. They probably would not check in the houses if the menorah was outside, if the Chanukah lights were outside their homes. So then there was a real concern, they would take them. But if it was inside their homes on the table, so then it was unlikely that the Persian Magi would go into their homes and take their fire. Now, Tosus and Shabbos Daf Muhammad Aleph cites the Ri, who says, no, the Sakana is not the Sakana's Chaveirim. It's not the danger that these Magi would take their, you know, extinguish their fires and take their coals. Probably because the term Sakana implies like a danger to life. So the Ri explains that that's referring to Sakana's Gezeira Shagad Shul Lahadik Ner Chanukah. We're talking about when there is a religious decree, probably under punishment of death or some other serious bodily harm, that they would not be allowed to light the Chanukah candles. Rav Amram Gaon, in his Siddur on the Seder Chanukah, so he suggests that im nishba haruach or pacha mipnei halisti manicha al shulchano v'daylo, that if the wind was blowing or there was a fear from the thieves that they would take the Chanukah lights, then he placed on his table and that would be sufficient. So it seems that Rav Amram Gaon thinks the sakana is the wind blowing out the fire, or maybe causing the fire to spread, or maybe fear that the thieves would take the fire, take the menorah. So we have different explanations as to what the sakana was. It's just important to note that, you know, nowadays many people may light by the window, and you can see, you have a glass window, and if you light it inside our homes by a glass window, then people from the outside can see the menorah. So there can be persumenisa. It should be noted that in Talmudic times, glass windows were not invented. The glass windows were produced in the 16th century, 17th century, 18th century. That's when you started having good quality glass. But in the times of the Gemara, there were no windows or glass windows to place the menorah inside so that people could see on the outside. So it's important just to know historically. So we have this, from the Gemara, we have this position that you're supposed to light outside. And in cases of danger, religious persecution, the wind blowing, the Persian Magi, then we should light indoors. Now, all of a sudden, we read in the Shulchan Aruch, Siman Tav Resh Ayin Aleph, Seif Zayin, the Rama says, Mihu Bizman Hazeh, Shekulanu Madlikim Bifnim, Vein heker livnei rishus harabim klal. Ein lachush kolkach im ein madlikim betefach asamach lepesach. The Ramah, this is not the Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch basically says what the Gemara says, that you're supposed to light it, place the menorah outside the door. And the Ramah says, nowadays we all light inside, and there's no recognition to the people in the streets, can't see the menorah, so you don't have to light it by the door. So the Ramah tells us that we have a custom, and nowadays the custom is that we all light indoors. He writes then, but the custom should be, there's no meikar hadin, basic halachas, you can light indoors, doesn't have to be lit right by the door. He writes the custom is to perhaps light it by the door, just like in their days. But the Ramah says fundamentally, you can light indoors. The Ramah doesn't say in times of danger you can light indoors. The Ramah says nowadays we all light indoors. And in fact, he's consistent with what he writes in Siman, Tav Resh Ayin Beis Seif Beis. After the Shulchan Aruch stated in Sif Aleph that you're supposed to light from the end of sunset until people stop walking in the streets, the Rabbah writes, Yeshom Shebizman Azeh Shemadlik Bifnim, nowadays that we all light indoors, Ein Tzorach Lizar Lahadlik Kodem Shetchal HaRegel Meshuk, we don't have to be careful to light before people stop walking in the street. Nevertheless, it's still good to be careful nowadays, but basic halacha is you can light indoors and you can light whenever you want. Because me'ikar hadin, there's no requirement for pirsuminisa so that people outside can see the menorah. And the question is, what happened? How did we shift from where the Talmud, where the Gemara says that you always have to light outside except in cases of danger, to basically, the default position is, we all light indoors. Was it always a Shas's Kana? Was it always the times of danger? In the times of Ramah, is that what happened? So where did this custom, or where did the practice to light indoors begin for Ashkenazic communities? Again, we don't find this in the Shulchan Aruch, in Sephardi communities. We only find this in the Ramah, but it came before the Ramah. Tosfos already in Shabbos, Daf Chafal from Ebay cites the Ri, who says that Ulari Nira the Atayin Lachush Masa Yadlik. Already the Ri, who's living in the 12th century, he was a nephew of Beirut Tam, so he's by living in the end of the 12th century, and he says that we're not so concerned when we light the menorah. Because the goal of the menorah is only the people inside the house need to see it, but not people outside. So right in the 12th century, you're lighting indoors. The Rav Yah, Rav Elezer ben Rav Yoel Halevi, who lives in Germany, also in the 12th century, writes, L'didan shemanichim bibifnim, for us who light indoors, afila malam esu ma'amak shera, even if it's 20 amos high, it's kosher. The Or Zerua in, that was the Rav Yon Chelak Gimel, Hilchos Chanukah, Siman Tuf Mem Gimel. The Or Zerua in Chelak Beis, Hilchos Chanukah, Siman Shin Chaf Gimel, writes, V'yeish Mefarshim, and some explain, Shah, Shas Hasakana Shigazir Solva Hadlik Neros Shel Chanukah. And he says that what does it mean when Gemara talks about in times of danger you can light indoors, that's when they made a decree not to light Chanukah lights, to kindle Chanukah lights. And then he writes V'ha'ina, again the Or Zeruah's Rav Yitzchak ben Rav Moshe of Vienna, living from, again, the 13th century, end of 12th, beginning of 13th century, student of the Rav Yah, and he writes, V'aidna deleika sakara, nowadays there's no danger. There are no decrees not to light the menorah. Lo yadana mai taima ein anu madlik mechatzeros. I don't understand why we're not lighting in our courtyards. Why are we all lighting inside? So he sees there's this practice, which seemingly began the 12th century, maybe earlier, but we have records already in the 12th century, and he's wondering, What's the basis for this? The Gemara tells us that we're only allowed to light indoors in times of danger. There's no danger nowadays. Now, maybe the Sefer HaItur, Rav Yitzchak ben Abba Mari, who lived in Marseille in the 12th century, so he suggests in the Aseret HaDibros Hilchos Chanukah, Daf Kuf Yud Amud Beis, he writes, in times of danger, he placed on his table, and that's sufficient. And once they made a custom about the danger, they made the custom. In other words, once they changed the custom to light inside, we always light inside. It's a little bit challenging to say, once you took upon yourself a condition under pressing circumstances, so now we're following that custom even not under the pressing circumstances. It's a little difficult to try to understand that. Seems to me that the reason why the custom changed from lighting outdoors to indoors in Ashkenazi communities was probably the weather. Think about it. In times of the Gemara, there was no. It wasn't always a Shasa Sakana. The times of the Gaonim, there's never a mention that there's always a time of Sakana. Presumably, in Eretz Yisrael, or sorry, in Bavel, in times of the Gemara, in Bavel, in times of the Gaonim. So then there were warmer climates, and very often, hopefully most years, Jewish people lit outdoors, except in times of Sakana. Then what happened? So some Jews moved to Sephardic communities. North Africa, Egypt, Spain, and there the climate was generally good. So again, the default was every year they would light outdoors, except in times of danger. However, Ashkenazi communities lived where? In France and Germany. These were much colder climates. So presumably, it was probably very windy, the weather was bad, and probably almost every year they weren't able to light the menorah outdoors, so eventually the custom just developed. Okay, we can't light it outdoors, we can only light it indoors. So in some, in Talmudic times, you may have had a danger of the Zoroastrians not permitting the Jews to light the menorah, or maybe there were certain decrees. From that period of the Gaonim, there was no Zoroastrian danger. Maybe there were occasional decrees. And then in Northern Europe in the Middle Ages, they probably didn't light outside because it was often too windy. Again, there's no evidence of persecutions or maybe thieves stealing the lights. It was probably the weather. Now, the Aruch HaShulchan asks the following question. What about nowadays? Nowadays, in the 19th century, Aruch HaShulchan writes, now we can light in glass boxes. I think it's very common, or it's somewhat common in Eretz Yisrael. People light outdoors in these glass boxes. They put the menorahs in glass boxes so it doesn't get blown out by the wind. So why don't we do that? So the Aruch HaShulchan writes in Siman Tafresh Ayin Aleph, Sa'if Chaf Dalet, he says that nowadays in Eastern Europe, the days of Chanukah, Hem Yemei Sagrir Geshem V'Shelag V'Ruchos Chazakim. It's rainy, it's snow, it's a lot of very strong winds, and you can't leave the menorah outside unless you enclose it with glass. And the rabbis never required us to do that. In other words, when the rabbis established the mitzvah of kindling Chanukah lights, what was their rule? Again, glass wasn't invented then. But it's irrelevant. The rabbis made a rule and they said, if under normal conditions you can light outside, you can kindle the Chanukah lights outside and they won't blow out, so you're good. And if you can't, then you light it inside. So they never said, well, that you have to light outside, and if it's too windy, you have to create a structure so that it can be lit outside. Again, it wasn't invented, but since it wasn't part of the original mitzvah, there's no requirement to build a glass case or to enclose the menorah with a glass case. You can if you want, but there's no chiyuv, there's no obligation to do so. That's why you can say that now we're in a quote unquote state of sakana potentially. We're in a dangerous situation insofar as if we light it outside, the wind's going to blow it out. So therefore, we can light indoors each and every year in cold climates. Now, nevertheless, it's fascinating how the nature of Pirsumei Nisa has been transformed over the years from the times of the Gemara to nowadays. We essentially transformed the Pirsumei Nisa from being communal Pirsumei Nisa, where basically you have to put it outside so the people will see, to household Pirsumei Nisa, where you put it inside. So again, we try to put it by the windows, people can see it. Outside. But fundamentally, Me'ikar Hadin, the basic halacha seems to be that we just light it indoors. And the question is, can we change the fundamental requirement of the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah even if it's not raining? How do we get around this? Like, let's say at some point, should we be trying every year maybe to see if it's not cold enough? If we can light the menorah outside, how do we transform this mitzvah from being one where only b'di'evet b'shas tzedakah we're lighting indoors to basically we're doing it all year long? Are we basically now in a b'di'evet situation, in a less than ideal situation when it comes to the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah? So maybe not. Maybe we have to redefine what the mitzvah of Pirsumei Nisa is. What is the mitzvah of Pirsumei Nisa? So we tend to assume that the mitzvah of Pirsumei Nisa means to publicize the miracle so that everyone can see. So I heard this from, I believe, Rabbi Kannerfogel, probably about 17, 18 years ago, and he made the following point. And if you look in the Magen Mishnah in Hilchos Megillah v'Chanukah, Perek Dalet, Halacha Yud Beis, he basically addresses the following question. The Rambam writes that when it comes to the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah, it's so precious, and you have to be so careful with this mitzvah that even if you don't have what to eat and you're collecting from tzedakah, you still would have to borrow or sell a garment and use the money to buy oil and lights to light the menorah. You have to go out of your way to borrow money to make sure you fulfill this mitzvah. Why is that? We learn it from another mitzvah of Pirsumei Nisa. What's another mitzvah of Pirsumei Nisa? Dalet Kosos, the four cups of wine on Pesach night. Just like we have to be willing to sell our cloak, our garment, in order to buy wine for the Arba Kosos, which is Pirsumei Nisa, so too we have to do that for the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. Because what are mitzvahs that are Pirsumei Nisa? You have Ner Chanukah, you have Megillah, you have Arba Kosos. But wait a second, Arba Kosos? Pirsumei Nisa? How is the mitzvah of Arba Kosos Pirsumei Nisa? You fulfill the mitzvah of Arba Kosos simply by drinking four cups of wine, even if you're by yourself. No one's watching you drink the Arba Kosos. So how is the mitzvah of Arba Kosos Pirsumei Nisa? So perhaps we have to redefine what Pirsumei Nisa means. Perhaps Pirsumei Nisa means that we act differently in order to highlight a miracle that happened to us. We do something different to demonstrate that we are celebrating a miracle. So the Arba Kosos, why we have four cups of wine? So typically, at least in the Mishnaic times, we would have three cups of wine during a meal. We would make Kiddush. We would have a cup of wine during the meal, and we'd have a cup of wine for benching. We'd bench on a cup of wine. So what do? We add an additional fourth cup. Why? So that when we see why are you doing something different? Why do you have a four cups of wine instead of three cups of wine that you normally have? We're acting differently to publicize, to demonstrate the miracle of Yetzias Mitzrayim. So it's not about publicizing, it's about acting differently than we otherwise would to highlight a miracle that we are celebrating. So too, we could argue that that's really what we're trying to do for Ner Chanukah. It's nice, perhaps, to also ensure that other people see the menorah. But maybe fundamentally, the mitzvah b'risa b'nisa is just that we have to act differently in order to celebrate this miracle of Chanukah. So how do we act differently? Because normally speaking at night, what do? At least in Mishnaic times when there's no electricity, we would light a candle and it would be lit in our homes so we could eat by the light, maybe we'd read a little bit, and that would be our lighting. So when we want to add a light to celebrate the miracle. If we light it indoors, it will just be perceived as you're lighting it to provide extra light for yourself. How do you demonstrate that you're kindling a light for the purpose of a miracle? You do something different. What's different? You do it outside. You do it outside. You do it outdoors. By doing it outdoors, you're clearly performing an action that is highlighting a miracle because we're doing something different. Now, what happens b'shas sakana? Let's say you can't do that for whatever reason. So the Gemara says, manichal shulchan v'dayo. You place it on the table, that's sufficient. And by the way, the very next line is Amarava tzarech ner acheres lishtamish l'ora. Rava says, in that case, you need another candle. You need what we call a shabbish. Our custom is we have a shabbish regardless. But it seems to me that Rava's comment immediately follows the bishas kana menichal shulchan v'dayo. Meaning what? If we're forced to place a candle indoors, we have to make sure that it's apparent that the purpose of this candle is that it's different. It's for the purpose of the miracle. How do we demonstrate that what we're doing is a different action than we otherwise would do? Because normally we kindle a candle at night, perhaps to eat by this candle, perhaps to read by this candle. How do we act in a different way? What do? We light another candle. Why are we lighting two candles? I understand one candle is because I'm reading by the candle, I'm eating by the candle. But we light a separate candle, and that's for the mitzvah. So the truth is, fundamentally, even if we're lighting indoors, it's still Pirsumei Nisa when we have the shamash. We already have additional lights that we are reading by, eating by placing an additional light, that is solely for the purpose of mitzvah. We're acting differently to celebrate a miracle. That is Pirsumei Nisa. It's nice also if people outside the street see it as well. But fundamentally, we're still accomplishing some level of Pirsumei Nisa. Finally, the Bnei Yisachar writes that this transformation, this maybe al derech drush, but he says that this transformation from Pirsumei Nisa, where everyone sees the menorah outside, to Pirsumei Nisa inside the home, reflects the idea that originally, in a generation, Torah chaviva aleha, where the Torah is precious to it. So then, pazer, scatter it, share with the masses. But if there's a generation that perhaps it's not, Torah is not as precious, kanes, gather inside. And therefore, says the Bnei Yisachar, Doros harishonim shaisa Torah chaviva b'neihem, that in generations, the earlier generation, when the Torah was precious in their eyes, they were placed in their Chanukah, which hinted at Torah, the light of the Torah outside. Al das yafutsu mayanasecha chutza, to spread the springs of water of Torah outside. But our generations, shidismata Torah v'lom deha, that there's less Torah, fewer students. And the sage of generation cannot turn people back from their evil ways. So then what do we need to do? In this case, we place the Ner Chanukah in our homes. At least, the very least, make sure that in our homes we are strong and we are firm in our commitment to Torah and Torah values. So this is how he explains Bishas HaSakana. He says, spiritually, we are in a sense in a Shas HaSakana, and we should be Zocha in the future to a time when we can spread the Torah outwards, we can light outside for the masses and spread the Torah outside. It reminds me, B'nai Yisachar's comment, reminds me of a famous quote that some say is attributed to Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, some say is by a secular author. And the passage goes like this: when I was a young man, I wanted to change the world. I found it was difficult to change the world, so I tried to change my nation. When I found I couldn't change the nation, I began to focus on my town. I couldn't change the town, and as an older man, I tried to change my family. Now, as an old man, I realize the only thing I can change is myself. And suddenly, I realized that if long ago I had changed myself, I could have made an impact on my family. My family and I could have made an impact on our town. Their impact would have changed the nation, and I could indeed have changed the world. The goal is the very least to change ourselves in our home before perhaps try to change the world. Focus inward. I think it's important that Chanukah is first and foremost a holiday for each one of us as individuals and as a family to appreciate the beauty of Chanukah. And hopefully we take advantage of the celebration of Chanukah to share with our entire family. And by strengthening our family, God willing, we will see that others will see the beauty of Chanukah by the way we behave and we feel passionate about Torah mitzvos, and by the way our family does. And through that, the light of Torah and the light of Chanukah will spread outward and will make indeed a major Pursuma Nisa impact on the rest of the world.